be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make.
Hi, this is Gail Moskowitz and you are listening to Mental Health Matters. I am a licensed clinical social worker and I work in the Richmond community and have done so for, gosh, over 30 years. And Mental Health Matters is a program dedicated to issues pertaining to mental health. We highlight issues that are interpersonal. We talk about issues in relation to sex and sexuality. We've spoken about addiction. We talk about healthy ways in which to live a more thoughtful and emotionally honest and hopefully a more fulfilling life. Mental health issues are multifaceted. They are complex, and they're unfortunately still just laden with stigma. While all of us do have emotional issues, while all of us have things that we struggle with that are emotional in nature, I think that we are very happy to have blind spots where it comes to other people. We get confused. Some of the things that I think we all know what it feels like is we all know what it feels like to be sad or even depressed. We all know what it feels like to have anxiety or even to have a panic attack. Every one of us has experienced peer pressure. Every one of us has experienced loss. And yet, as a society, we have no money for mental health programs. We have morally corrupt notions of how to deal with our own pain, and we're very quick to judge others about how they deal with their pain. Each week on Mental Health Matters, I introduce a topic, and then I discuss that topic, or I take your questions and hopefully meet some of your day-to-day needs, some of the things that you might be struggling with. But if we introduce a topic, we'll talk about that topic either from my own body of knowledge or from or with a knowledgeable guest. And then what I would love for you to do is to call and weigh in on the subject, ask a question, or, you know, suggest a topic for another program. Today, I'm going to actually answer two questions that came in my email that I think are very related, and we'll get to that in a moment. But the questions are related to the relationships of young people and the drama they confuse for being in love with one another. The relationships of young people and the drama they confuse for being in love with one another. This is Mental Health Matters on 97.3 FM WRIR here in Richmond, Virginia. You can listen to the program in real time by logging on to WRIR's website, www.wrir.org. Let me try that again, www.wrir.org. The show will be available for you to listen to by this evening, along with all of the past shows, by logging onto my website. You can log onto my website by going to WRIR's website and clicking on my show, and it'll get you to where you need to be, where you can listen to the show on one of my podcasts, and you can subscribe to my podcast. If you'd like to send me an email, my email address is the letter R, and the words Mental Health Matters. So it's UR Mental Health Matters, or Your Mental Health Matters, at gmail.com. Today, the number at which to reach me is 649-9737, 649-9737. I'd love to hear your thoughts. I'm going to talk today about the relationships of young people, or sometimes not so young people, and the drama they confuse for being in love with one another. So I got an email from a 15-year-old girl. And just for whatever it's worth, I'll say out loud, I think 15 is too young to be in an ongoing, intensive, I'm responsible for your needs, you're responsible for my needs relationship. Children at 15 are not generally all that ready to manage how overwhelming that can be. It takes them away from the things they should be doing, which is establishing same-sex and friendship opposite-sex relationships, learning how to solve problems on a day-to-day basis, learning to define themselves separate from another partner. And it takes them away from their schoolwork. It takes them away from being in the kinds of friendships that might last their whole lives. So 15 is, I think, too young to be caught up in being emotionally responsible to another human being. And I say that, and I know that a lot of people are going to disagree with me. So I want to clarify a little bit by saying this. If you begin to identify yourself as being, if you begin to identify yourself as your life having meaning or worth vis-a-vis the attachment you have to somebody you see as your love interest, you begin to stop that development that you need that is all about you, and which is a sense of being okay even when you're not tethered to another human being. So please don't think that I'm saying that 15-year-olds are across the board incapable of being in a loving relationship with a member of the opposite sex or a member of the same sex if they are already identified as being gay or lesbian. But what I'm saying is that those relationships then become so intense that they stop doing the development they need to do, which is to sort out who they are in relation to all the things in the world, their friendships, a softer boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, like, oh, he's my boyfriend, but I'm not emotionally responsible for everything he does, you know, for his happiness, which is what begins to happen when we get very connected in a love relationship is we have to sort out how responsible we are for how happy that other person is. And trust me, I know 70-year-olds who haven't figured it out. And I think 15 is too young, because the more you know yourself, the more likely you are to choose an individual who knows their self, and you can enter into healthier relationships. So the letter that I got from this young lady was heartfelt and scary to me, but what I know is that it's not an unusual problem. And I do want to tell you that you're listening to Mental Health Matters here at WRIR 97.3 FM on your dial here in Richmond, Virginia. And if you'd like to ask me a question today or to weigh in on this topic, please feel free to give me a ring, 649-9737, 649-9737. So I got a letter from this young woman. She's 15 years old, and she said that she lives with a single mother, but she spends most weekends with her father, who has just separated from his second wife. So now what I now know is that neither of her parents have had ongoing successful relationships with love relationships, interests, whatever. She says she's the oldest of two. She's got a brother who is 11. Her parents broke up 6 years ago. And she met a boy when she was 13, and he was almost 16. That's 3 year differentiation. That's a 3 years difference. And again, I want to say out loud, 3 years in adolescent years is a huge gap. Already what an individual has learned and the development that they have garnered at 13 is really very different than at 16. Even though there tends to be a lag in development between boys and girls, that's a lot of years at such a young age. And it's a lot of years in particular because at 13, they really have not made the shift to a more conscious a more conscious day-to-day life, understanding how they affect other people, how other people affect them. That's still very young, very immature, very young. This boy was in high school. She was in middle school, she goes on to say, and she met him at a youth retreat through her church. He's also from a divorced home. He lives with his father. Apparently, his mother left the home situation many years before. He reports, she says in her letter, that she reports in her letter that he has a good relationship with his dad, but that he has a lot of freedom and comes and goes as he pleases. That is another issue between 13-year-olds and 16-year-olds. Just want to highlight that issue, is that 16-year-olds have more freedom than 13-year-old kids. 16-year-olds are beginning to come and go a little bit more as they please. So it's an expectation then that the 13-year-old might get pulled into what the 16-year-old is doing, and that is developmentally not appropriate for a 13-year-old. So she says that that her boyfriend, and this is the question, she says she likes her boyfriend very much, that he really is a very nice person, that she goes on to say that he doesn't drink, that he, while he doesn't do particularly stellar in school, he goes to school, he doesn't skip school, he's not a bad kid, she goes on to tell me. But if she is not available to him 5 seconds after school is over and intermittently throughout the evening, he pouts and he calls her over and over and over again until she responds to him. She has spoken to him about this over and over again. At times when he finally does catch up to her, he'll shout at her. He's never cursed at her. He's never struck her, but he will shout at her. And a week ago, what he shouted at her is that she was his girlfriend and it was her responsibility to let him know where he was, where she was at all times. And he won't, and that got into her head. And she told her mom about it. And I guess the scary part is that how her mom responded, or at least she says in her letter, is that her mom said, well, that's not really true, but didn't, you know, respond to it in regard to saying that's not okay, and didn't make a very strong statement about it. And then her mother went on to say, it's because he really loves you. And I guess therein lies the real question that this young lady asks me. Is that love? Is this 16-year-old boy telling her that, telling this 13-year-old girl that she is his girlfriend and she is and it's her responsibility to let him know where she is at all times? Is that love? Now, mom, why I don't know anything else about mom, and I don't want to put mom down. I know she probably has her hands full, and she works hard, and she's probably trying to be a really good mom. I have to say that that's probably a little bit of an immaturity on mom's part in regard to calling that love. That is not love. And perhaps has not gotten through her own issues of being chosen, being loved, being that dear to somebody, and probably has some vicarious pleasure on some level that her daughter is being cared for so dearly in her mind by this young man. This really disturbs me, and I think it's very interesting that this young lady wrote me this question after she did talk to her mom, because she doesn't think that it's love. And she was really writing not because of what her boyfriend said to her, but because of what her mom said to her. So is that love? No, it's not. It's dependency. It's it's power, trying to be powerful. It's manipulated. It's manipulative. It's fear on his part. Again, I don't know this boy, but this is not a safe situation for this young lady to be in, because this kind of behavior can, this could turn out to be a not safe situation. This kind of behavior can escalate. So my guess is that this has to do with this young man's dependency needs, and that anybody moving away from him feels like it is out and out utter abandonment. And he has in his mind that this young woman is his object on some level to be manipulated. He has in his mind that this young woman is an object that's there to soothe him and to help him calm back down. And apparently, once he calms back down, they have a good relationship, they can talk, they have fun together. But clearly, he wants to be in this dominant position because he can't manage his own feelings of having this young woman pull away from him on any level. This young lady is terrible for your development. You need to grow up separate from seeing yourself as an object that's in this life to soothe this young man's neediness, dependency, and abandonment issues. Having fun with a young man, that makes sense to me. Enjoying being liked, we all like to be liked. Feeling pretty, all of those things that we get to feel when somebody chooses us, all of those things are healthy and appropriate. It is absolutely not appropriate for this boy to ascribe to you the responsibility of having to check in with him all the time by any means. Even adults who are in married relationships do not have to check in with one another all the time. It is not a healthy thing. You need your own life. You need to define yourself separately from being defined by this boy, by being his girlfriend. You need to be able to come and go, have friends, figure out who you are and what you want. And my hope is that you have not had a sexual relationship with this boy that has become too intense, because that makes your connection to him even more powerful. And I do not think that this boy is particularly safe to have that kind of powerful connection to. I'm not telling you to break up with him. Although if I was your mother, I would probably counsel you and help you to pull away from and end your relationship with this boy. That is not my job to tell you that. But I will tell you that you need to be very clear with him that that is not your responsibility, and that you're not going to pull away, that you're not going to deal with him telling you where you can go, when you can go, and when you need to be responsible to him. And if he cannot soothe himself and back off from you, if this behavior escalates in any way, then you need to go talk to someone. And I just want to say to those of you listening that because this young lady emailed me, I did email her some appropriate referrals in case she needs to go talk to somebody. I want everybody else to hear that you can always go talk to the guidance counselor at your school. Go talk to the guidance counselor at your school if you think your boyfriend or your girlfriend might become in any way aggressive to you or toward you if you try to back off from your relationship with them. You do not have to be any more connected to a boy or a girl than you want to. And if it doesn't feel good to you, then don't do it. And if you need help, go to an adult who you trust, and your guidance counselor is always a good place to start. So, good question. And just to reiterate, it is not love when somebody says, you are responsible to make me feel good. That's not love. That's neediness. It's fear of abandonment. So we're talking about, is the drama in relationships love or is it drama? If you would like to ask me a question today or weigh in on the topic, feel free to give me a ring. I'd love to hear what you have to say. The number is 649-9737, 649-9737. You're listening to Mental Health Matters here on WRIR 97.3 FM on your radio dial in Richmond, Virginia. The second letter I wanted to respond to today is interestingly linked to the first letter. A little bit different. This is a young woman who is married. She's been married for 3 years. She's 27 years old. She's a college graduate. She currently works and goes to graduate school part-time. She is married to her high school sweetheart, who she dated on and off through college. He did not finish college, although he went to he has since then gone to an apprenticeship program, and has a decent job in an electronic field, which I won't say out loud. They've been married for 4 years, 2 years. They've been married for 2 years. They've dated on and off since high school, and here's what she writes. She says in her letter that her husband has great work ethic. He works hard. He's a nice man. And in terms of his sense of responsibility, they don't have any children. But she says in her letter that she feels like she is has outgrown him. She says in her letter that every time she wants to talk about something that he doesn't know about, he gets aggravated with her and says that, oh, you talk to me like that because you're a college graduate, or he calls her college girl, and he sort of puts her down and doesn't want her to engage him in conversations. And she used the example that she happens to like to read. And whenever she discusses anything in regard to what she's reading, he gets aggravated with her. And the other thing that they sort of have that kind of tension around are issues that she happens to love music and has played music her whole life and knows a lot about classical music and listens to classical music. And because she listens to classical music, she often listens to public radio. And because she listens to public radio, her politics have begun to get colored differently than her husband's. And that when she says to me that when she tries to talk to him about any of those things, how he responds is by getting angry with her. And this is not something she had really ever seen before. It worries her and upsets her, and it feels like he's keeping her from growing. So, good question. And here's the answer. This is a difficult question. You know, I don't know what the totality of your relationship looks like. And again, I want to tell my listeners that because this woman emailed the question to me, I did email her some good referrals and thoughts about what she might be able to do. So this is her side of the story, you see. And while I believe that this is her experience, and I believe that she's probably totally telling the truth when she says that that her husband gets aggravated with her or shows his anger when she goes to talk about things that he doesn't understand. There could be a much larger picture here, which is that systems get out of whack. And when systems get out of whack, good psychological term, an out of whack system, when we throw the equilibrium off in a relationship, it's often from both sides. So it would be interesting to hear how he colored this. I mean, he might say that she does act like she's superior to him and that she baits him. She could, you know, who knows? Because we're not there and we're not in the middle of their relationship, that it would be hard to make a definitive statement about what's really going on. And so what I encouraged this couple to do is to go talk to someone. And if he's not going to go, for her to at least to go talk to someone. But taking her question straightforward and not reading into it or looking at what the whole psychological cadence of this relationship really is, I'm going to say this. You know, we have so much to teach each other, and we have so much to learn from one another. One of the things I think I've said before on the air is that when somebody corrects my English, I love that, because to me it's just learning more about something I don't know, and I don't want to make that mistake again. That doesn't threaten me. When somebody teaches me about a part of, teaches me something about anything, things that I don't know about, I take that in because I feel very decently, because I feel decently about myself, because I feel that I'm bright and that I'm open and that I try to learn things. There are things I can't learn very well. They're not my speed. So in relationships, what I want to say is that we have to work really hard at not being threatened by each other, because that is the only way we really can teach each other, help each other, move each other. We're each other's mates, and being in a helping position with one another is a lot healthier than to feel threatened because one of us knows something that the other one doesn't. Clearly, you chose to be together. There must be lots of other things that bring you together. And if somebody is beginning to get angry with you for any reason, it's unacceptable. Nobody gets to treat their spouse or their partner with disregard, anger, contempt. Nobody deserves that kind of relationship. So what I would say to this woman is either go talk to a marriage counselor or go talk to somebody individually. Look at your part first. Do that first. Don't blame first. Look at your part first. Look to see how you might put yourself in this position or stir things up. And once you get your part down, then you can ask your partner to change his or her part. This is Gail Moskowitz. You're listening to Mental Health Matters. I hope you'll tune in again next Thursday at 1 o'clock here on WRIR 97.3 FM.
Be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry you make it double. Don't worry, be happy.